U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is launching the largest reorganization in the department's 168-year history. The shift would divide the country into 13 regions and centralize parts of the agency within those boundaries. It would also involve the relocation of tens of thousands of workers to new locations and change the way the federal government manages more than 500 million acres of land and water across the country. Joining us now to talk about the potential impact of this change is Kate Kelly, Director of Public Lands at the Center for American Progress. She also served as a senior advisor for former Interior Secretary Sally Jewell. Kate, good morning. And let me ask first of all, how significant is this shift? I mean, how big of a deal could this be?
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is very significant. The Interior Department is often called the Department of Everything Else for a reason. They have a very vast and diverse mission that includes everything from the national parks to wildlife refuges, onshore and offshore energy development, the bureaus of Indian Affairs and Indian Education. So when you talk about reorganizing something that massive, 70,000 employees, 50 states across the nation, this is a big deal.
In your mind, is this an agency for which a shift like this is warranted?
Well, I think that most Americans would hope the government is having these types of conversations on occasion to make sure that an agency is effective and efficient with taxpayer money, that it's best set up to meet the needs of the American people. What is important to remember about this particular conversation is the person leading it, and that is Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, who at the same time he is discussing the reorganization is proposing dramatic budget cuts for the Interior Department. He has demoralized many career employees, and he's removing career officials from their areas of expertise and often dismantling the agency at the same time he's trying to reorganize it. So I think context is really important for this conversation.
Well, in that context, then, do you think that this kind of reorganization might, for example, make land management easier or more efficient or more palatable to those who maybe think the department's not doing such a great job of it now?
What this reorganization appears to be contemplating, and again, I use the word appears because the details are pretty scant at this point, and they're in the early stages of developing the reorganization, but it would put the agency into 13 different areas organized by watershed and wildlife corridors. So for land management agencies, in many ways, that's an interesting way to think about how they should be organized. For the Bureau of Indian Affairs, that might be make less sense. I think the biggest shift in the reorganization would be for the Bureau of Land Management, who is organized by state currently. And so this would, for many Western states, create split states into three or four different regions that they then have to navigate as they think about how to communicate their needs back to Washington, D.C. So it could be an impact where they add more bureaucracy to an already very large organization.
You referenced some of the actions that Secretary Zinke has already taken, which have raised some hackles in Congress. Is this the kind of plan that would need congressional approval? I mean, if particular members or even folks on the state level object to this kind of thing, is there anything that they can do to try to stop it?
That's one of the biggest challenges I think Zinke will see as he moves forward with this reorganization. Congress holds a lot of power to approve or not approve this type of reorganization. We expect to see more details emerge when the Interior Department puts out its proposed budget in about a month, which then will go to Congress, and they can have a lot of influence over what it ultimately looks like by holding the purse strings. Some moves like this have been contemplated in the past and run into a congressional buzzsaw. For example, under the Obama administration, in cost-cutting saving measure, they attempted to merge the BLM offices for Arizona and New Mexico, and they were met with a lot of pushback from members of Congress, from governors, from local officials who thought they would lose representation if those offices merged.
Right.
So I think that's one example of the type of pushback we will likely see from governors and other officials as details emerge.
All right. Kate Kelly is Director of Public Lands at the Center for American Progress. Kate, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.